Now this, as a stone, supernaturally cut out of a mountain, supernaturally, turns into another mountain. This then fills the whole earth, for it reveals that the process of the prophecies turning into history, that the stone, and that it is to grow, the symbolical of the first fruits and the kingdom, that the infant kingdom begins with the 144,000 servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 7:3. That consequently, the church of the Laodicea, that it is the lust in which the wheat and the tares commingle, and therefore the one in which the wheat, the 144,000 first fruits, is harvested, is necessarily the mountain out of which the stone, the first fruit of the kingdom, is cut or taken from. Furthermore, it is seen that they're being cut out without the hand, without human aid, obviously points out the fact that they are gathered or garnered by the angels, that they're increasing then as the growth of the stone reveals is the result subsequently of the gathering of the second fruits out of all nations, causing the mountain or kingdom to fill the earth, and that this super, a natural work of the cutting out of the stone, of the separating of the 144,000, as the nucleus of the kingdom, is with the purification of the church, or is by the purification of the church. Finally, since the stone, as has been seen, is cut out of the infant kingdom, and set up in the days of these kings, the toe kings, not after their days, but in their days, and since the 144,000 servants of the Yahweh stand on the Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, it conclusively follows that the stone kingdom in its beginning is set up in the Holy Land, while the toe kings are yet in existence. Beyond question, therefore, the 144,000 godless servants of the Yahweh, Revelation 14:5, composing the government of the Yahweh, and its beginning, the stone that smites the image, and that subsequently becomes a great mountain, hits the whole earth, are instrumental in the eventual overthrow of all the earthly governments. Accordingly, therefore, of who else at that time in all of the world, of who else indeed but themselves could it be written? They are men wondered at. a great people and is strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of the many generations. Zechariah 3:8, Joel 2:2. He ain't no good. Okay, it says, and the remnant of the Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Yeshua, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversary, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. For the portion of the Jacob is not like of them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. For the Yahshua of the host, the son of Yahweh, is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of thee war, for with thee will I strike in pieces all the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke with the oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Micah 5:7-9, Jeremiah 51:19-13. Who would dare question that in the prophecy these are the people, and this is the church that completes the work as the only people and the only church that will possess all the gifts of the Spirit? And that's not the Adventist church. That's this little stone hewn out of the mountains without hands that strikes the image on the feet and grows into a mountain and fills the whole earth. From the gift of the prophecy unto the gift of the government and gift of the miracle, that these gifts are given them for the achieving of their crowning work of the lightning of the earth with the glory, Revelation 18:1, of the preaching of this plan of the salvation through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, which they call the gospel of the kingdom, and all of the world for a witness unto all nations, thereby gathering Yahweh's people, the second fruits, tear-free, my people, out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, whom the Babylon ruled. For they bring their brethren into the church purified, Isaiah 66:19-20, the kingdom of the Yahweh on the earth and its infant restoration. Prophetically, envisioning the long ago is this glorious day of the triumph for the people and the church of Yahweh and for the everlasting gospel inspiration as jubilantly declared. Mighty miracles were worked for us. The sick were healed and signs and wonders followed the believers. Yahweh was in the work and every saint fearless of the consequences followed their convictions. She followed the convictions of his own conscience and united with those who were keeping all the commandments of the Yahweh, and with power they sounded abroad the five angels' messages. Peter Hollis says the third message, but that's not so. The five angels are taught here in this last parabolic hour, which we're in now, the 12th hour, and the harvest time. Whenever that starts up for real, then you'll have the five angels of Revelation 14 being preached and taught. And in these days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. For the swords that were raised to kill Yahweh's people broke and fell as powerless as a straw. Early Writings 2:85. Thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion. Let's do it again. Thus saith Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, I am returned unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour in Jerusalem. I will dwell in the midst of the Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of the truth, and the mountain of the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, as the holy mountain. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come for the seeking of the Yahshua of the host in the Jerusalem, and to pray, therefore, before the Yahweh, Yahshua, or the Yahweh, the Father. Thus saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take a hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is with you. Zechariah 8:3, 22 and 23. Now thus, illuminating in the particular the tongues question, Zechariah's prophecy reveals that in their gathering time, in the time when the Yahweh himself calls the church a city of the truth, a holy mountain, the time in which nations go forth to seek the Yahshua and to invite others to come with them, then it is that the whole church, every active soldier in the gospel army, will have the gift of the tongues as is pointedly indicated by the affirmation that the 10 men shall take a hold of all the languages of the nation. The universal significance of this number is confirmed by the 10 toes of the great image of the Daniel 2, by the 10 horns of the beast of the Daniel 7, and of the Revelation, Revelation 13:1, by the 10 servants, and the parable of the 10 pounds. Okay. Luke 19:12-25, and by the 10 virgins. Matthew 25:1-12, who are symbolical of the whole church, while the 5 wise virgins are the wheat, and the 5 foolish virgins, the tares, are still commingled in all of these as in all other instances. The number 10 is numerically symbolical of the universality. Just as conclusive as is the Zechariah's prophecy on the genuine gift of the speaking in the tongues, are the Joel's, Marcus, Jeremiah's early writing, and the Revelation's prophecies on the other gifts of the miracles, including the immunity to death, to the manifested among the Yahweh's people. Continuing with the Joel's prophecy, we see that the gifts are bestowed on both old and young. Be glad then, you children of the Zion, and rejoice in the Yeshua, or in the Yahweh, your Father, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see, shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Joel 2:23-28. Here too, in the plainest terms, is set forth the truth that after, not before the former and the latter reign, both of which are figurative of the freshly revealed truth coming directly from the throne of the Yahweh, preceding the harvest, during the time of the great harvest, during the gathering of the people, these gifts of the miracles will be restored for the result of the Yahweh's restoring them, is graphically pictured by both the Isaiah and Micah in the almost identical words. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yeshua, or of the Yahweh, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from the Jerusalem. Micah 4:1-2. In addition to the testimony of the type, here from the mouth of the least 7 witnesses, John, Micah, Joel, Daniel, Zechariah, Isaiah, Yahshua himself, is a more sure word of the prophecy. revealing the set time for the gift of the miracles. And the summary, the faithful testimony, is that the re-manifestation of the gifts among men will be, number one, after, not before the latter rain is poured out. Number two, after the stone is cut out of the mountain, not before. Number three, the time when the Yahshua is for the gathering of the second fruits from the, or is with the gathering of the second fruits from the east and from the west. Number four, when the Zion and Jerusalem are called a city of the truth, the mountain of the Yahshua, the host, son of Yahweh, as the holy mountain, holy kingdom, parenthesis. Number five, when the inhabitants of the one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Yahshua and to seek the Yahshua of the host. I will go also. Thus the Yahweh will free his people from both sin and sinners, keep them apart forevermore, and endow them with all the miracle-working powers. Does he do this because they have been good, or for his name's sake? Here is his own answer. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Yahweh, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, saith Yahshua, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all their countries, and will bring you into your own land, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness, and from all of your idols, and will I cleanse you, for a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of the flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Ezekiel 36:22-28. Note how clear these verses make the picture that what the Yahweh does for his people, he does not because they are worthy of it, but for the sake of his own name, that he does it not before, but after. He takes them out of all the countries and brings them into their own land, that he then and there cleanses them and changes their hearts, all of which shows that as long as his people are commingled with the terrors and live among the Gentiles, and live among the Gentiles, they can never be fitted for the translation. Obviously, therefore, the land of our fathers is to be our final and superb dressing chamber for the fitting us for the society of the pure, sinless, eternal beings on all those other planets. Do we see then as plain as we should that to fail to heed the truth of this most momentous event in all of the Church's history is for the forfeiting of the gift of the miracles as a fitness for the translation and the right to live and reign with the Yeshua during the 1,000 years. We dare not let the enemy cheat us of this new heart fitness for the heaven. For this end gathering is indeed to be the second exodus, and it is to be exactly as the Yeshua has said. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yeshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from the Assyria and from the Egypt and from the Patros and from the Cush and from the Elam and from the Shinar and from the Hamath and from the islands of the sea, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:11-16. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of the acre for a door of the hope, and she shall stand there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, Hosea 2:15. Instead of the giving all for the Asher, many have taken the golden wedge and a goodly Babylonish garment and hid them in the camp. If the presence of the one Achan was sufficient to weaken the whole camp of Israel, can we be surprised at the little success which attends our efforts when every church and almost every family has its Achan? Testimony, Volume 5, page 157. It is now to be considered how this work of the shaking and separating will begin, and also how the church is to hear of it. Years ago, the Spirit of the Yahweh opened up the truth in the vision. I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, declared the recipient of the vision, and was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness unto the latest end. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pull forth the straight of truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause a shaking among Yahweh's people. Early writing at page 270. In this vision, we are introduced unto a mighty message that is to be carried to the latest end. That is to commence the shaking among the Yahweh's people. Then, in the subsequent vision and testimony, we are given to see the glorious sequel to this shaking. Mighty miracles were wrought, the sick were healed, and signs and wonders followed the believers. Yahweh was in the work, and every saint, fearless of the consequences, follow the convictions of his own conscience. Okay, and united with those who were keeping all of the commandments of Yahweh, and with the power, they sounded abroad the third message. Page 278 ID. Say to them that are of the fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your Yahweh will come with a vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, Isaiah 35:46. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of the Yahweh who shall be alive upon the earth when the celestial glory and a repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of the Yahweh. By the means of the angels there will be constant communication between heaven and earth, and Satan, surrounded by the evil angels and claiming to be Yahweh, will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. For the Yahweh's people will not find their safety in the working miracles, for the Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. Yahweh's tried and tested people will find their power in the sign spoken of in the Exodus 31:12-18, Testimony, Volume 9, page 16. For the envisioning of this great day of the Yahweh's power is with the gospel prophet also focuses our eyes upon those who, by the heeding of the straight testimony, survive the ordeal of the shaking and behold face to face those wondrous scenes of the future glory. Look upon the Zion, the city of our solemnity. Thine eyes shall see a Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken, but there the glorious Yeshua will be unto us as a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall the gallant ship pass thereby. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:20, 21, and 24. Then to this already glorious picture, inspiration adds still another enlightening and heartening facet. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahweh shall be delivered, for in the Mount Zion and in the Jerusalem shall be deliverance. That's actually Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, Joel 2:32 and Joel 3:20. But upon the Mount Zion shall be delivered, and there shall be holiness, and the house of the Jacob shall possess the possession, and Savior shall come up on the Mount Zion for the judging of the Mount of the Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Yeshua. Obadiah 1:17-20 and 21. For these two prophecies of the deliverance and of the subsequent events vividly reveal that the wonder-working power which is to invest those who endure the swiftly approaching great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. And now, as the day hastens on apace, Testimony Volume 5, page 80, for the engulfing and the ruin of the lay of the sins, the Seventh-day Adventist, who turn a deaf ear unto the message which causes the shaking. Well, that's the Elijah David's message to Gilead's sinner in 2002. Virtually none but the sick, the afflicted, the outcast, and those from the streets and the lanes will be humble and lowly enough to respond unto the warnings, to the experience of transforming the power of the divine grace upon their hearts, the progressively sanctifying impartation of the righteousness by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way. In these last days, is what they call the plan is a gospel, everlasting gospel, and to be among the gathered ones as the inspiration thus further discloses. And he shall sit up an ensign for the nations. That's the house of David, this everlasting kingdom of David, with Yeshua and typical David, the two kings, Yeshua, the one from heaven, and typical David, the one who organized here on earth, and shall assemble the outcast of the Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:12. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time, to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with the one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Yahshua these things. Then the master of the house, which is Yahshua, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, that's of the true church, Jerusalem, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Luke 14:16-21. For the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. Okay. Who are the wise to understand? And you, brother, sister, will you act now while there is time? Will you face the picture and get ready to meet the situation? Will you, before the Spirit of the Yahweh leaves you and the enemy secures the final advantage over you, will you realize that as he beguiles the rich with the vanities and grinds the poor with the cares, he will use every weapon he has to dishearten discourage and scatter all who accept Yeshua's merciful invitation unto his supper. Moreover, as sure as the devil lives, he will employ every possible agency for the either add unto the obvious truth or to subtract from the aggravating and disheartening, especially capitalizing on the misfortunes and afflictions of the saints, to thus secure their downfall if possible. Principally, will be where he depend upon the two of his most powerful and successful agency, extremism, one pushing to the right and another to the left, and an effort for the scattering as many as possible away from the center path of the light. He will endeavor to drive one class into the fires of the fanaticism and to plunge another class into the icy waters of the unconcern. Unto this end, he will seek to convince the former class that their afflictions and misfortunes are the evident results of the imperfect obedience unto the present truth, and will mock the latter class as a fanatically strict in their course of the faith, for the only ones that will endure unto the end will be those who carefully watch their steps from being carried away either by his addictions to or by his subtraction, by his additions to or by his subtractions from the works of the inspiration. For the informed, however, will rejoice rather than be pushed and driven unto despair. Nothing, not even the afflictions of the Job, will discourage them, for they will be wise and will understand. They will know the truth, and the truth will set them free from the Satan's snares. They will remember that the blind man, John 9:1-3, was born blind, not because of someone's sin, but only that the Son of the Man might be glorified in him. They will, as well, consider that both Lazarus and Dorcas took sick and died, not because they were the biggest sinners of the day, but that the Son of Yahweh might demonstrate that he has power not only to heal the sick, but also for the raising of the dead. At his will, they will perceive that affliction and misfortunes that have come upon them have not drawn them away from the Yahweh, but rather have drawn them closer unto him, that they are better off to go into the kingdom poor, maimed, halt, and blind than to go into the perdition rich in the houses, lands, oxen, and health, or whatsoever. With the tears of the joy over his forgiving her great sins, Mary Magdalene therewith washed her Savior's feet and wiped them with her hair, then breaking the precious alabaster box, anointed his head with its ointment. All the while this was taking place, Judas' greedy hands were twitching for the price of it to fatten his purse. though at the same time he was pretentiously professing deep love for the poor. This hypocritical profession, while tapering upon his breast, as it were, with the voice of the dove, he sought to pass off as a genuine love for the other by accusing Mary of the extravagance and waste, and Yahshua of the vanity and waste. For the informed and the discerning will spot such false brethren in their midst and will know that the Yahweh wants his faithful ones sick, that if the Yahweh wants his faithful ones sick, they will gladly suffer sickness for his sake. That if he wants them well, they will praise his holy name for the health and strength to enable them to do something for the feeble, the disabled, the sick, and the suffering. That if he wants them dead, then they cannot live and will gladly die. That if he wants them living, they cannot and will not want to die. That whatever he wants, this is what and will he gladly take. Their hope will be in him only, for they will close their ears unto all who in one way or another seek to reprobate truth's cause today. They will not listen to gossip. They will be confident that Yahweh is at the head of the work, that he himself is attending unto his business. They will know that all who remain in the pits of the falsehood and unrighteousness will finally go into the bottomless pit of the perdition. For the lessons also from the Job's trial will be for their learning, hope, and courage, for they will understand and consider well of the fact that there were the Jobs before the Job of the Bible, that there were Jobs since then, that there are Jobs today, and that there will be Jobs till kingdom come. Their faith in the Yahweh will be in the truth and in the confidence, whether in the weal or in the woe, in the sickness or in the death. And nothing will be able to move them from the heaven's message, for the day they will know that it is to be either their life or their death, and to life will they cling, for they will not be found murmuring, doubting, accusing, or despairing for whatsoever their lot. While inside of Yahweh's hedge, they will know it is his will for them. Every one of them will, with the heart and soul and in the certainty, say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Yahshua, from the Yahweh the Father, which made the heaven and the earth. For he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Yahweh is thy keeper. It's actually Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is thy keeper. For the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is thy shade upon thy right hand. For the sun shall not smite thee by the day, nor the moon by the night. For the Yahshua shall preserve thee from all evil. He will preserve thy soul. The Yahshua shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121:1-8. In the cumulative light now, or let's do it again, in the cumulative light now, shining on the much mooted question of the tongues and other miracles, none need longer continue in the darkness, mistake, or confusion as to the nature, character, and purpose of the true miracle working power and the time for its manifestation. Sad to say, though, multitudes of the uninformed and misinformed will continue to get hooked as they jumped at the hooks baited with the miracle promises dangling in the invitingly from the lines of the so-called miracle workers here, there, and everywhere. That's going from bad to worse, squandering their time and their money, their life and their health, their hope and their faith. For no saints will pray then wonder if Yahweh has heard and answered their prayers, for they will know and rejoice in the faith that he has heard and answered them in his own way, even though it be entirely contrary and to that for which they have prayed. They will do what they can in the Yahweh's way, accept the help he provides, and know that it is better to trust in the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, than to put confidence in the uninspired man. Psalms 118:8. Since the time for the Yahweh to exalt any group of the people with a demonstrational miracle working power has not yet come, though it is indeed fast approaching. And since you, brethren, know about the prophecies on this subject, then if you heed them, how fortunate and happy you will be in the sparing yourself from the running hither and yon in the search of a miracle working power where there is no genuine. If you, brethren, stay inside of the Yahweh's hedge of the inspired revelations and walk with him as did the Enoch of the old, you will have him by your side every step of the way. So whatever your burden, leave it with him, and he himself will bear it for you to triumph. Know that he has heard your prayer and that he will grant your request as he sees fit to carry out his plan. For you and for the gospel today, miracle mongers and miracle hunters, fanatics, all bear in mind, may become dangerously subversive, ready to sabotage everything that is not in the accordance with their thinking. Loose and rattling tongues will endeavor to shake the faith of us all. For the ones, though, who bear the heaviest burden of defeating the flock with the meat in the due season, will be the devil's main targets. At just such a time as this, these devoted followers of Yahweh will profit most by the Yahshua's advice. Trust you not in a friend. put you not confidence in a God. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Yeshua. I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation. For my Yeshua will hear me. Micah 7:5-7. It will be discovered that there will be thousands of divorces, some from the professed believers, and some from those who fight against the faith of the saints, one voice condemning one thing and another condemning another thing, and what one condemns, another will approve. But when held close to the light of the Yahweh's word, all their discordant philosophizing and murmurings, their man-made plans and carnal ideas will be seen to be but a tumult of the envy, jealousy, pride, hatred, malice, politics, greed, prejudice, and every other selfishness. These unfortunate self-sent ones, being yet in the spiritual darkness, doubtless imagine themselves to be working for the Yahweh with the zeal and energy. But one day they will horrifyingly discover that they have been working against the Yeshua, as the Saul of Tarsus discovered about himself. May the prayers of the saints awaken them and put them working for the Yeshua, as the prayers of the Stephen caused Saul to become the great Apostle Paul for both Jew and Gentile. And may he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith, and hold fast that which he hath, lest the enemy deceitfully take it from his grasp. This brings in verse 36, contact us at the 11th hour call.